KSCU Santa Clara presents. Robots Attack. Movies. TV. Video games. Comic books. Tech stuff. News. Music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
And in maybe 10, 15 seconds, Jason will be here as well. And but yes, we are here to rock your Thursday evening just the way geeks know how to do it. We rock it hard. We rock it soft. We rock it gentle. We rock it. Help me out here.
We rock it awesome.
Yes.
You rock it raccoon?
Oh, well, yeah, sort of. That's very, very, very good because we'll be talking about Rocket Raccoon later tonight, as well as someone in this room is wearing a Rocket Raccoon t-shirt. So it's like full circle and other math equations that equal dimensions and such. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we got a great show for you tonight. In the core, we're going to finally talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. We didn't get to hit it last week, but we're going to hit it tonight.
Faux show.
That's right. And we'll probably throw in a little bit of Geek Talks. I'm sure we've done some stuff that maybe you want to hear about. And if not, well, you're going to hear it anyway. And of course, we have the news that you care about that we will hit. And what we love to do, we like to start off the show with new releases.
Yay!
And so this week, I'm going to hit what's coming out in the theater. As I do every week, but for this specific week, here are some movies you might be interested in. The first one is Let's Be Cops. The less said about this movie, the better. So moving on to the next one. The Expendables 3, Barney Ross, Lee Christmas, and the rest of the team come face to face with Conrad Stonebanks, who years ago co-founded the Expendables with Barney. Stonebanks subsequently became a ruthless arms trader and someone who Barney was forced to kill, or so he thought. In order to defeat Stonebanks, Barney decides that he has to fight old blood with new blood and brings in a new era of expendable team members, recruiting individuals who are younger, faster, and more tech-savvy. Who really cares what's it about? It's just fun to see old people blow stuff up.
Exactly.
All right, moving on from there, the Giver, Jonas, lives in a seemingly ideal if colorless world of camaraderie and contentment. Not until he is given his life assignment as the receiver of memory does he begin to understand the dark, complex secrets behind his fragile community. I don't understand any of that, but apparently a lot of people did because it's a best-selling book turned into a movie. Moving on to people who love dinosaurs, including myself and probably everyone in this room, mm-hmm. There's a documentary called Dinosaur 13. When paleontologist Peter Larson and his team from the Black Hills Institute made the world's greatest dinosaur discovery in 1990, they knew it was the find of a lifetime, the largest, most complete T-Rex ever found. But during a 10-year battle with the U.S. government, powerful museums, Native American tribes, and competing paleontologists, they found themselves not only fighting to keep their dinosaur, but fighting for their freedom as well.
What?
And let's say you're like, well, I'm not really in the mood for dinosaurs. You're crazy, but maybe you're that kind of person, but you like movies that are named after people's names. Well, there's Frank. A young wannabe musician, John, finds himself out of his depth when he joins an avant-garde pop band led by the mysterious and enigmatic Frank, a musical genius who hides himself inside a large fake head and his terrifying bandmate, Clara.
Hmm.
There you go. Little handful, some various types of genres of films already out and coming out this week.
Sounds good. If you prefer your visual entertainment to come from a small silver disc that projects into your room, via TV or projector, you might consider these. The Railway Man on Blu-ray and DVD. This film follows the story of Eric Lomax, an officer in the British Army during the Second World War. He was captured and set to work on the infamous Japanese Death Railway. Years later, he returns to find those responsible. Then there is Locke on Blu-ray and DVD. Ivan Locke has carved out a fine life for himself and his family, but this phone call may bring it all crashing down. Yes, possibly. Who knows? You'll have to watch and find out. Then there is Muppets Most Wanted, Waka Waka, also on Blu-ray and DVD. Is the opportunity of a stuffed lifetime. See the world. Perform at exotic destinations. See what I did there. What could possibly go wrong for the Muppet crew? Oh, well, maybe an international crime spree with someone standing in for Kermit. I don't know. It just seems like that's how things go for the Muppets, unfortunately. Then
it happens.
Mm-hmm. Then there is The Blacklist, the complete first season on Blu-ray and DVD. When the world's greatest criminal turns himself in, not as a mystery. When he decides to turn in all those that worked with him, an even greater mystery. When he will only work with a specific FBI agent who seems to have no connection to him, one has to wonder where the mysteries will end.
That's a lot of mysteries.
It is. For changing gears pretty drastically, it's Bob Ross, The Joy of Painting, Grand Juror Summer.
I don't know. There might be some mysterious trees right. in the background.
They might be mysteriously happy. Spend some time with one of the world's happiest painters while he goes into detail about the techniques behind one of his paintings.
Can you imagine James Spader as Bob Ross? Because that's who's in Blacklist. He's the criminal bad guy. Just for the audience out there who doesn't know. And he's Bob Ross, playing that guy.
Just seeing him with that wig would be awesome.
That hurts my head just trying to think about that. So I'm going to move on to
Ultron is Bob Ross.
Right.
My head explode. So I'm going to move on to the next and final DVD Blu-ray option.
Last one ever.
Well, for this show.
No.
It's only on DVD, but it's called Turtle Power. The Definitive History of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes. I saw a panel on this at Comic-Con. It was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. The movie sounds pretty interesting also. It was a premise that shouldn't have worked. A bunch of turtles that are ninjas named after famous Renaissance painters. But it sold and sold and sold. And now 30 years later, Randall Loeb, looks back at the epic phenomenon. It also features the original creators, Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, in it. So that's kind of awesome too.
Yeah. And actually there's a scene of them where they go back to where the house was.
Oh, wow.
That it was created. And so right now it's there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just somewhere. It's over there, we did that in the kitchen And then we did that. That was cool. And then I had no idea that Fresh Prince's uncle on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was the voice of Shredder on the cartoon.
Yeah.
So when he popped up and they showed him, everyone in the crowd's all, yeah, I was like, whoa, I didn't know it was that guy, Uncle Phil, I think.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that's cool. I had the classic tonight I'll dine on turtle soup line,
Nice.
But yeah, it was cool. So that should be a good one to check out.
Yeah, definitely. Very cool.
Unless you hate Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or anything that's cool or happy.
Mm-hmm.
Then you might want to avoid it.
Yeah.
Or the rest of the show, because it's going to be cool and happy.
That's true. That is true. Or maybe you need some of that, so you want to stick around.
Exactly.
And you know what?
No.
There's even a way that maybe you're oh no, I'm leaving my car. I don't have a radio anymore. Well, if you want to listen to KSU and this show whenever you want, you can stream us at ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound or our show. And what's the tip?
The tip is, if you search for us on any of those apps, do our call letters, KSCU, because that's the fastest way to find us. We'll just leave it at that.
103.3 won't help you as much.
Not as useful. It might expand your horizons and musical tastes.
True.
But it won't find us very quickly.
I want to help you find KSU quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, if you want to enjoy yourself by sitting down and playing a video game, awkward standing and playing a video game. In this case, you can possibly go with Dysgaea 4, Promise Revisited. This version of the game is coming to the Vita. It's originally from the PS3, but this time they've packed all of, well, best I can tell, almost all of the DLC into a single package so that you can take it on the go with you. Other than that, there's a pretty neat idea for a video game called Akiba's Trip, Undead and Undressed. It doesn't sound as racy as it makes it sound, but it's basically a section of Japan called Akihabara that's known for electronics and whatnot. So it's become like kind of a geek haven.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is kind of a zombie vampire outbreak type situation where they're trying to consume the people in Akihabara.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, the shortened name in Japan for that district is Akiba, so Akiba's Trip, Undead and Undressed.
That makes a lot more sense all of a sudden.
Okay, and in case I didn't mention, that is coming to the Vita and PS3. Also on the Vita and PS3, as well as the PS4, Hohokam. It probably sounded like I tried to halfway cough there or something.
Yeah, I was about to see if you needed a tissue.
But it looks like a really innovative way of playing a video game. It's very Katamari looking, except on a two-dimensional play space. But it seems like the entire game is controlled by kind of piping a snake-like entity through the world in order to unlock and create and gather things. It looks pretty neat. You should probably check it out. Meanwhile, Risen 3 Titan Lord is also coming out, coming to the Xbox 360, PS3, and PC. It looks like they've made a lot of, or put a lot of effort into trying to make the people happy that have been with the series from the very beginning. They've ended up adding a lot of characters and sections that end up paying homage to the very first game, apparently.
Very cool.
So hopefully it'll work out pretty well as far as that goes.
Mm.
Coming to PS4, quite possibly the strangest looking game that I've ever seen, Surgeon Simulator Anniversary Edition.
Yes. I've heard of this game.
Yeah, this one was on Steam for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I don't know how exactly they're going to work it with a regular controller, because kind of the entire point of the game, best I understood from the computer version, was to make it really awkward and difficult by making it really convoluted control scheme. But we'll see. I'm sure they can manage to do the exact same thing with a console as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just might need some creativity. Finally, we have the newest in the Neverwinter series, Neverwinter Tyranny of Dragons. This one sounds pretty neat just because it's trying to release at the same time as the same named component for the D&D system.
Yeah.
So if you're a big fan of that and you want to be able to dabble in the real world and the video world, they got you covered.
Clever.
Nice.
Very clever. All right, so from there we jump over to Comic Booklandia. Over on the East Coast at DC and Marvel, we'll start with DC. It's Constantine, number 17. It's World War II, and deep in the trenches, something has gone horribly wrong. Namely, modern-day mage John Constantine is in them. Cast back in time by a spell gone wrong, he now must find a way back while keeping other mages at bay. And with this much death, the Blackguards have ample feeding grounds. Across town at Marvel, it's Spider-Man 2099, number 2. The webhead from the future is trying to make the most of his predicament. But how does a superhero from the future even begin to have a quote-unquote normal life?
It's true.
Then from Dark Horse, it's Dark Ages, number 1. It's a miniseries. It's going to be 4 issues. While seeking fortune and glory across medieval Europe,
A group of mercenaries encounter a hellish demonic force, which is not from hell.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that confuses me from many angles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like two. But
yeah. But still, it's more than one. Yeah. It's one more than 11%. Anyways, over an image, it's Walking Dead number 130. There's a new Walking Dead issue. And that's kind of enough said. Get your zombie fix, basically. Then from IDW, it's a spinoff from Judge Dredd, Anderson, Anderson, Psy Division, number one.
Okay.
It's a story from her early days as a judge. Anderson has a strong vision of an attack on Mega City One's Megapolitan Museum. And this is also the beginning of the King of Six Sectors storyline. Now, if you're trying to remember who Anderson is, if you watched the movie Dredd, she was the psychic judge that was under evaluation.
Yes.
And if you haven't watched the movie Dredd,
you really
we
should.
Recommend it.
Yeah.
Yes, it is very violent, but it's delightfully violent, if that can be a phrase to put together.
Right.
Yes.
If you can't get over the helmet, don't bother watching it, because it's not for you.
Yeah.
And you're lame.
Well, you're just different. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Different in a lame sort of way.
Stupid.
Is that all?
That's it for comics. This week.
Okay, so we'll move on to everyone's favorite music. We've got a new album from the Gaslight Anthem called Get Hurt. It's the fifth full-length studio release for the New Jersey rock band. It's produced by Mike Crossey. Then we have a new album from Sinead O'Connor.
Ooh.
I know you're excited, right, Caleb?
Sure.
I'm Not Bossy, I'm the Boss.
Uh-huh.
Produced by John Reynolds, the 10th release for the singer-songwriter is a collection of love songs from different female point of views.
Hmm.
Then we have a new album from Miro Wagner called When the Cellar Children See the Light of Day.
Ooh.
The second release for the Finnish singer-songwriter was produced by, Vladislav Delay. Then we have
Not
Dilated
bad.
Peoples with Directors of Photography, the first release in 8 years for the Los Angeles hip-hop trio of Evidence, Raka, and DJ Babu. Features guest appearances from Aloe Black, Katero, Krondo, Sick Jackin, and Vince Staples. Then we have a new album from Porter Robinson called Worlds. It's the debut full-length release for the North Carolina electronic producer. Features guest appearances from Brianne Drain, Imaginary Cities, Amy Millen, and Urban Cone. There you go. The nice little hand-picked selections randomly of some new releases in all sorts of areas. Hopefully something in there piques your interest. If not, you can Google or Bing or Yahoo, other things that have come out this week.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I'm sure our friends at Wow Cool Comics have some great recommendations for everyone as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll do it for new releases. We're going to now take our music break.
Mm-hmm.
And in tribute for, we actually lost like two rather famous people really close.
Yeah.
The first being Robin Williams, the second being Lauren Bacall. Mm-hmm. I don't have any music from Lauren Bacall, but I do have a song from Robin Williams.
Nice.
Which we will play as we go into break in tribute for the legendary comedian.
Yes.
Genius, some may say,
that
we lost.
Indeed.
So, all right, we're going to take that music break and then come back with the news. Want to tease the folks some news?
How about this? 1,000 robots.
1,000 robots?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Perhaps even 1,024.
1,024? So you want me to remove my pants, is what you're saying.
No.
You should keep the robots demand it, and you will be forced to concede.
To take my pants off? Or keep them on?
If the robots have their way.
Oh, all right.
Meanwhile, in other news of things trying to control you or control the world, or Joe's pants, maybe? I don't know how that would work. Samsung is trying to control your home.
Maybe by employing those 1,000 robots. We'll never know.
Right.
But you'll have to tune in to see after this music break. And, Caleb, how can the audience be a part of the show?
That's right. If you have thoughts or opinions or something you would like that you think we missed in our new releases that you feel like we really should have covered, you can contact us right now. If you go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow, that is our Facebook page. You can leave a comment there or like stories that we have put up or what have you. Or you can go to twitter.com/robotsattackme. That's all one word smushed together. And that will link you to us directly. Or you can hit us up an email, which is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you want one place, one thing to remember, robotsattack.me. From there, you can get to everything else. Go forth and enjoy.
Well, that's right. And if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but you got limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates. It's a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right, we'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound, right after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We're just about getting into the news, but Caleb's got something for you.
That's right. Before we jump into the news, here, our friends at Wow Cool got back to us about some things that they recommend that you check out as well. One is called Night of the Living Vidiots. It's a full-color collection from Adventure Time's artist Anthony Rizzantio.
Cool.
Rizzanito? It's, there'll be links in a sec. And he also mentioned that a collected edition of Simon Roy's Tiger Lung, which will be coming out in December. So that's something that's a little bit further out. But if you want something this week, keep an eye out for Night of the Living Vidiots.
Cool. Sounds good. All right, let's get into.
News.
That's right. We're in the news, and I'm kicking it off with my story about 1,024 robots.
All right. The pants are currently on, just in case the audience is keeping track.
Right. It is the first flash mob ever assembled at a first robot flash mob at Harvard University. Need to specify. It's a swarm, like I said, and by the crowd. Flash mob, it makes probably a degree of sense. And what they are called is they're called Kilobots, K-I-L-O. Hmm. And
because there's 1,000 of them?
Exactly, 1,024, which is also the same size as a kilobyte, which is a measure of space on a hard drive. That's right. 1K of robots was able to self-organize, and they organize into formations. They can be currently it's a limited number, but the premise is sound. They can make a 5-point star, and they also can make the letter K,
which makes sense
mm-hmm. since they are the kilo bots.
Mm-hmm. Better make that K.
Yeah,
but it's a really interesting sort of challenge because these are not like. There's not a lot of brain in the individual robots. They organize, but okay.
Well, that's mean.
Well, they're intentionally designed to work together so that not one of them has to be like an orchestrator. They all sort of, but they know what they're supposed to form in terms of a shape, and then they all organize themselves together to do that as they communicate with each other via IR. And they're also very small. They're only like 3 centimeters. So like they're small.
Oh, that small?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're not much bigger than like a quarter or some other or the coin of your realm.
I was thinking like a horde of robots, but.
Well, there is 1,024 of them, so it's quite a few, but they're small, and you know, it's the idea is to mimic things like ants or other biological systems, which are generally made of small, relatively simple elements, which then together make something larger than the individual element. Not like the human body made up of cells. Mm. The cells themselves aren't much, but you put them together into a person and then become something really impressive generally. It's very cool. It's a very cool, interesting, you know, sort of experiment as they with the idea of intelligence and shape and the idea of, you know, what is communication like? How do you get collaboration amongst things that are independent and relatively not so bright on their own kind of thing? So okay. There you go.
Well, I may not have kicked off the news section, but I do have a Kickstarter story.
Hey, well played there, sir.
That's right. Yeah. Anyway, case you've been keeping track of every single thing that's flown across Kickstarter and succeeded, a company called SmartThings was put into action thanks to Kickstarter, and it seems to be doing pretty well because it was just acquired by Samsung, the phone giant.
And they make pretty much everything else you can imagine as well. Like, Samsung has their fingers in pretty much every single pie that you can think of when it comes to manufacturing.
That makes me not want to eat pie anymore.
Well, okay, that's a figure of speech.
Don't get me wrong, I like Samsung in general, but not when their fingers are in my pie.
Yeah, well, that's why it's a turn of... It's a figure of speech.
That's true.
So, is LG going to get intelligent stuff?
Probably. I wouldn't put it past them. they'll make their new line.
That'll be the knockoff.
Yeah. The somewhat smart things.
Right. Anyway, so the main thrust behind SmartThings is that it's a company that's looking to make itself the easy way to control your normal environment at home with extra little bits and pieces to plug into your stuff. Mm-hmm. Like very simple sensors that end up interacting with each other and electric sockets so that you can have media systems, lamps, whatnot, be able to turn on with cell phones or whatnot. So it makes a degree of sense that Samsung would be interested.
Mm-hmm. Especially also with WWDC, Apple announcing the HomeKit API for all their phones, so
yeah.
Which is a home automation integration system. Mm.
I see. Trying to steal Samsung's thunder.
I'm just saying,
Apple.
There's a lot of it's a natural right. It's a natural progression for a lot of these companies.
I had heard that they were actually getting along for once too. And
yeah,
start this.
Competition is not the same as litigiousness.
Oh man. Well, anyway, SmartThings, the wonderful Kickstarter created company was acquired by Samsung for just about $200 million. So that's not a bad jump for a Kickstarter company.
Mm-hmm. So we need to kickstart intelligent stuff.
Right.
Yes.
We're going to get right on that.
Hopefully someone will buy that from us.
Right. Mm-hmm. Everybody put in 50 cents.
Yeah.
We're fine with that. We'll make it happen.
We'll create something.
Totally.
Intelligent stuff available for the Mi phone.
But not the U phone. That one's already somebody else's.
Oh, really?
I have no idea. I'm just guessing.
Who knows?
Could be.
And who really knows why the chicken crossed the road? Am I right?
Seriously.
Well.
Joke creators.
Staple to the punk rocker's face, that's why.
Yeah. So this story is out of the SF Gate. It's no joke. Chicken crossing road blocks traffic.
Okay.
So in Portland, Oregon, police were told there was a chicken and it was attempting to cross the road.
It's a giant chicken, I tell you.
I was waiting for that.
In fact, the citizen who called the police non-emergency line on Monday evening reported that the chicken's efforts to cross a road in a North Portland neighborhood were bringing traffic nearly to a standstill. He assured the dispatcher he was not joking. The dispatcher chuckled and asked a clarifying question. "It's just the one chicken?" The caller said yes. Sergeant Pete Simpson says responding officers were unable to locate the chicken. And so he notes police were unable to determine the chicken's intent.
I'm just imagining like the chicken from Despicable Me 2, like assaulting vehicles, doing kung fu.
So that chicken is somewhere out there in Oregon, right, plotting roads to cross, traffic to stop. It's the first sign, people.
Oh, the roads I will cross.
The roads I will cross, the traffic I will create.
Indeed.
Here,
Caleb doesn't seem sold on this scenario.
Oh, it's gonna happen. And you heard it first here on Robots Attack on right. KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
Scooping the story.
Well, indeed. Very true.
Take that, Latino review.
Yeah, we got you this time. Latino review. Oh, they do fine work.
They
just do always scooping things. How they do
right.
it?
Yeah,
yeah, they got magic.
So
speaking of magic,
yes. How about the magical power of art and the power of violence?
Whoa!
Well, let's call it power. Let's call it kinetic action.
Okay,
action and art. There is an artist known as Yael Guevara, I apologize in advance for your name pronunciation.
I thought you were going to go Ryu or something. Like
that. Johnny Drone Killer or something.
Right, yeah.
No, not this time. This artist specializes in sort of the beauty of destruction. It's like car crash simulations. And so it's like, you know, sets up an event that shouldn't be attractive, but makes it a visual experience that could be considered a form of art.
Okay.
Now he's working. Just did a piece called "The 3D Printed Kick," and it is a visual representation of a motion map taken from a video clip of a couple of guys in a fight.
Okay.
And it's actually really interesting the way they've done it, because it's not just...
That's actually pretty wicked.
Yeah, it's not just the single impact. It actually like captures the motion, tries to capture the motion in a single in a static image.
Mm-hmm.
It's... when you see... I'll put the link up,
It's sculpture, right?
Yeah, it's sculpture. It's a 3D printed sculpture that displays the... That this is about to display both the action as well as the reaction, and it's a really interesting piece of work.
Yeah.
You'll all get to appreciate it more once I put the link up online. So there you go.
If you go to our Facebook page or Twitter, we tweet out and post all the links to all of our stories, and a lot of our stories have visuals that don't translate terribly well over the radio, but we do our best, and gives you a chance to go back when you have a opportunity. Say you're driving, don't look at it up now.
Yes,
man. You can go and check them out. Speaking of things you can go and check out.
Well, I suppose if you purchase it, you could go and check it out in your own home. Piece of artwork, sort of, that is a lamp that is kind of neat. I'm trying to figure out how to better incorporate all of this stuff together. Basically, a couple of designers, a design group called Michael and George, created HB lamps, which is basically an HB pencil as a giant lamp, a 6-foot lamp, where if you can imagine the eraser is the actual glowing portion of the lamp. Now, that's
interesting
enough on its own,
yeah,
but the way that it stands up and how it incorporates its chord is the most interesting part to me. Its chord, at least in the smaller version, which I guess you can also get a 16-inch version, the chord is actually a little bit wiry as far as you can actually flex it into whatever shape you want.
Okay.
So both it and the 6-foot version, the idea behind it is that you end up drawing something with the chord, and the chord ends up protruding from the tip of the pencil. So it's trying to make it so the chord is actually part of the attraction of the piece instead of something that you're trying to hide.
Okay.
So that's pretty clever.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. The sort of neat thing about the large version is it ends up making it so it can actually incorporate the chord into, like, having it climb up walls and doodle on a wall and stuff like that as well.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of neat stuff. So if you want to check it out, we'll include the link on Facebook as well as other venues.
Robot Stack Show.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook and Robot Stack Me, Twitter.
Yes.
So my story doesn't involve lamps.
And why not?
Well,
because you're not maybe, interested in lamps.
Well, I don't think they're going to turn them into a lamp. But,
okay.
Robin Williams is going to be memorialized in World of Warcraft.
Oh, okay.
He will, according to the story I nagged from IGN, there's a petition on change.org has succeeded in getting the late Robin Williams memorialized in the popular World of Warcraft. According to the petition, Robin Williams was an avid fan of World of Warcraft and, quote, took his World of Warcraft characters very seriously. He often joked about his World of Warcraft addiction, but also about the reactions he'd get from other gamers when he admits he plays the game.
Nice.
Because of his presence within our community, we, the players of World of Warcraft, are asking Blizzard to kindly create an NPC within the game that memorializes the actor slash comedian. The petition asks for the Williams NPC to perform some of the actor's best jokes, so that he may continue making a smile long after he passes. Petitioners got their wish late last night when, in response to a tweet asking him if he'd seen the petition, technical game designer Chad Nervig responded, "Yes, we're taking care of it. Robin Williams will appear as an NPC of some kind in the game." So there
cool.
you have it.
Very cool.
He will not only live on in film and audio, comedy shows and all that jazz, but in video game world as well.
Nice.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Be curious to see what he is. Like, so I can't say he won't be a funny lamp, but...
Right, yeah. I'm sure it would be pretty good no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Very true, very true. Alrighty, so let's see. I got...
Segue from that.
Well, Blizzard is producing some fairly interesting subject matters for their games and allowing people to experience characters and personalities from the past. Well, Simon Cowell is trying to do the exact same thing, except in a more profitable way, most likely. Not that World of Warcraft is not profitable. I just don't think that particular thing was about profit. But
yeah.
Anyway, Simon Cowell, of all people, has decided to try and put together a film that is a Betty Boop movie. Yeah, Betty Boop hasn't been officially on film for over 25 years since she appeared in a scene in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. But apparently Simon Cowell is a fan because he wants to make an entire film about her.
Live action or animated?
It sounds like it's animated.
Okay.
But yeah, live action would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be quite the feature. I'm not sure how I feel it would feel about that.
It being live action?
Yeah. I'm not saying it couldn't work. It'd be so strange because she's such an iconic, like, cartoon figure.
Yeah. I mean, the neat thing about it from my perspective is that since he is a music kind of head honcho, apparently it's going to be, in his view, a music-driven Well, actually, live action slash animated hybrid. So it's going to be kind of in the vein of Roger Rabbit,
huh,
from the way it sounds. But yeah, I can imagine something like that making a fairly good musical type thing.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I could see that. Interesting. So from blending two worlds, digital and real, to blending two societies, digital and real, so to speak.
Oh, nice.
There's a gentleman who has made a robot that is hitchhiking across Canada.
No. Yes. Get out.
I kid you not.
Get out.
Get out to Canada.
Eh. No. This robot is, it's not a robot in the sense of like Robbie the robot or most of the other like autonomous things. This robot is intended to be stationary and,
okay,
and, it's intended to look a little bit, homegrown, for lack of a better phrase.
It's, mm, okay.
It's got a,
it's not made of plant matter.
No, it's got effectively a trash can for a body, pool noodles for arms and legs, blinking LED face, and a hat with a garbage pail lid hat that is also doubles as a solar panel.
Okay.
And so but it does also have onboard processors and speakers and a microphone so that you can interact with it once you've picked it up and brought it into your vehicle. The idea was to kind of create a inorganic object that was interactive and would also elicit a certain amount of interest and care amongst the organic matter, the people to, assist it. Like,
organics is the way the robots usually refer to us, right?
Mm-hmm. Often.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So he made this thing. It's roughly $1,000 worth of parts that you can purchase almost anywhere.
Okay.
From your local hardware store.
That's what it says. From your from your typical Canadian home or hardware stores, right there in the text.
Oh, we're not Canadian though.
Nope. But it's got rubber boots and dishwashing gloves as for hands. And,
do they match?
Not as such.
That's like a superhero waiting to happen right there.
You could sort
it looks
of
like
see
they
him
sort of match, yeah.
Yeah, they're following a similar aesthetic. Let's put it that way.
It looks like a character, a comic book character made of a trash can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're also trying to the point of it was also kind of to make a robot that wasn't bent on human destruction or putting it
that we know of.
Yeah, the idea was to create a face for robotics and people that wasn't trying to melt your face.
Doom and gloom.
Yes. Yeah, like the Matrix and the Terminator films don't really portray robots in an exceedingly positive light.
I don't know. A thumbs up is pretty memorable as a good thing.
There are highlights, but the eradication of most of humanity by the robotic population is still kind of suspect.
That only happened in the alternate timeline. So
two alternate timelines if you want to get really technical.
Non-history repeats itself.
So, I've got a question.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a fan are you of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
I remember them.
So
gigantic, Zord-sized fan. Yeah.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put yourself? 10 being like you would trade anything to experience a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movies, and 1 being, well, I'll give my left arm, but I need the rest of my body.
Those are the only options?
Yeah, that's the scale. That's 1. So where do you fall?
I'm glad you're asking him this.
Well, that would classify me as a 0 then, because I'm not giving up anything to experience a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Well,
where is your sense of sacrifice, sir?
It's true.
It's not for the Power Rangers is where it is.
Well, fear not, fans of the Power Rangers, you won't have to do any of that because the movie is slated for a summer 2016 release.
Uh-huh.
The Lionsgate and Saban announced today that their Power Rangers feature film will open in wide release July 22nd, 2016. From the official synopsis for the movie, from a story by executive producer Roberto Orci, Transformers, Star Trek, Amazing Spider-Man 2, and screenwriters Zach Stentz and Ashley Miller, X-Men First Class Thor, comes a modern reinvention of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, a group of ordinary high school kids who find themselves infused with extraterrestrial powers and must harness those powers as a team to save the world.
Sentai Warriors Unite.
Nope.
What?
The article, they spoke with Orci, who told that Saban had 600 pages of research that they have on their stuff. We read
research.
Yeah, we read through the synopsis of everything, and then they did, and we are actually taking into account quite a bit of the canon in a real way. We're not just leave it behind reboot. Saban cares very much about that. This is something that he created. I had to go to his house personally to tell him, listen, I'm your man, Miller and Sense. These are your guys. I promise you I won't ruin your franchise. And he said, it's very important to me because kids around the world know what the Power Rangers are. So you can't just come in here and walk all over it. It better be consistent with what I've been doing. And I said, yes, sir.
That's what Orci
said. So there you have it. It sounds like big fans of the property are behind the film. It's gotten the okay from the creators.
Nice.
So if you're
that worked out so well for the Avatar movie, so.
Yeah, and yep. You know,
that's not a painful memory. Thank you for bringing that up again.
Maybe this will be different. I mean, none of us in here are really huge fans of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, but
true.
it is, yeah, true. But you know, it is big for a large number of people, and I remember doing a story earlier about talk of the movie. Now there's an actual release. So to let those who have been sort of hanging on the edge of their seat, when is it coming out? Now you know, July 22nd, 2016.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, should be interesting.
Speaking of things that are interesting,
if you want to break out of the box,
break out.
It is sponsored by the City of Santa Clara Cultural Commission. Breaking Out of the Box Art Exhibition, opened on April 17th, 2014. The exhibition, juried by members of the Cultural Commission and staff from the Triton Museum of Art, fills the corridors of City Hall with a wide variety of beautiful and thought-provoking sculptures. Admission is free, and the Triton Museum of Art is conveniently located across the street. Stop by and enjoy lovely works of art by some of the finest artists in Northern California. For more information and operating hours, call 408-615-615. 2210.
So that's going to do it. I take it for the news.
I believe so.
All right. We're going to take another music break and then come back with a quick geek talk and then go into the core where we'll discuss Guardians of the Galaxy. We'll do our best to keep it spoiler free. I know it's been a few weeks that it's been out, but you know, we don't want to spoil anything. And Jason's holding up a CD case. He's pointing at me. He's like threatening me to play something from it.
I didn't know if you'd want to actually use something from the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, but hey.
Sure. Do you have anything in particular you'd like to play?
Yeah.
Okay. There's no swearing in it, is there?
Tons. Oh,
man. All over the place.
Ooh, oh, boy.
Oh, man.
So... let me have the CD case. So Caleb will have to entertain you while I... What track would you like to hear? The audience is hoping you pick wisely.
Yes, pick wisely. Well, this is... it won't be important
I believe
later
number
on.
Eight. Read back number eight to me.
Number eight.
Come and Get Your Love.
Yes.
Okay, so there you have it. Track number eight from the Guardians of the Galaxy. Awesome Mix Volume 1 is going to be played right now. Here on Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. And Caleb, it's not too late for the audience to participate.
It is not.
Just
indeed.
Like Wow Cool has been participating, you can be cool like Wow Cool Comics. How can they do that?
You can comment or like us on Facebook. We are do a search for Robots Attack, two words, or if you want to make it simple, Robots Attack Show after Facebook.com takes you right there. And you can go to Twitter, twitter.com/robotsattackme. It's all one phrase smushed together. And then finally, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. But if you want one place to remember, one place to find everything that links back to everything else, robotsattack.me. That is your one-stop shop for all things Robots Attack.
That's right. All right. Come and get your love.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter @RobotsAttackMe. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We're in Geek Talk. We're going to do a quick little Geek Talk. All of us went to the boardwalk for the Monday super duper cheap rides nights.
Retro night.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was fun. I got yelled at a little bit for having not experienced the rides before there. I thought I was in a safe environment, but I shared some things, which then turned out to be somewhat untrue because I remembered having gone on one ride and you're thinking like, oh, well, you probably went on the Giant Dipper or some other thing like that.
Right.
No, it was like the haunted house mansion thing, that was called. So, yeah. I had gone on that one before.
Nice.
Yeah, it wasn't so much we were yelling at you, it was just surprise.
Okay.
I was admonishing him.
Sure.
You people in your need to admonish.
I felt the rage and the burn, the flare.
No, just admonishment. That's it.
But yeah, there was some good times. There was nice weather. Which was good.
It was a really, really pleasant evening. Barely needed a sweatshirt for.
Yeah. I was wondering if it would get a little cooler since being next to the ocean.
Yes.
Boardwalk right on there, but it wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm. Not bad at all. Yeah, it was pretty neat too. Like the retro night thing, they even have like discounts on a bunch of stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
Even the food items are supposedly
certain food items are.
And you got two chocolate covered things.
Yes.
What were those again?
Okay. I felt like I needed to try out one thing, and that was chocolate covered bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it was pretty awesome.
Yes.
Until I was informed that there's even better chocolate covered bacon, and then I felt like promptly disappointed. But still, I mean, I'm glad I experienced the baseline chocolate covered bacon.
Yeah, a good beginning point.
You know? Start somewhere,
right?
And then that you know, in actuality, if you start quote unquote lower, then you've got like higher things to go. So if you had started all the way at the top, then everything else would have just been like, well, it wasn't as good as that one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and the other thing that I had to try out, because I'm a fan of spicy stuff, and it sounded like a really good idea at the time in my head, was a chocolate covered jalapeno.
Mm.
And
how did that fare?
I was unable to finish it, and mixed results. No, it was just more spicy than I expected for the most part. Because,
mm-hmm.
and I consider myself a pretty good.
I've seen you pack down the spicy.
Yeah, I mean, I use a lot of sriracha, like a lot, and yeah, this thing pretty much floored me. It's the first time in my life I've had a spicy thing cause hiccups. Not that it was the first time that has happened, but hiccups that I could not cure by my own means.
Mm-hmm.
So I was stuck with hiccups for like a good hour or something like that, which is a new experience for me because usually I just do the hold my breath thing and it's gone. But no, that was a serious jalapeno. The one thing that was disappointing, though, was I sort of expected, I don't know why, I expected the chocolate covering process to somehow like cook the jalapeno, which I should have known better because it doesn't do that to strawberries.
True.
And but yeah, but I had the bacon stuck in my mind. I had it. I was like, well, surely they just put chocolate on raw bacon and it magically cooks it to a crispy consistency. Perhaps it will do the same thing to a jalapeno, but no, my logic was flawed in that respect.
And then Caleb, you had deep fried
Twinkie. Right. I shared that with Elaine, and it was much better than it should have been. Like most things that when you say, oh, try this deep fried this, you're like, no, and then you try it, and you're like, okay, that was actually kind of yes. That it was not supposed to happen.
Right. Yeah, it changes it.
It does.
You don't expect it.
It's a different food when you do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I think I slightly prefer the deep fried Oreos to deep fried Twinkie.
I'm the same. Yeah. Okay.
So but you liked the deep fried Oreos a little bit
more. But deep fried Twinkie is definitely something if you're at a fair and it's offered, you have space in your stomach. Give it a try. It's actually not nearly. It's not as terrible as it sounds. In concept, it's actually
the concept is horrid. Let's be honest.
It's
I mean the only thing worse is deep fried butter.
Yeah,
but but at least it's made of tasty things.
It's true.
Not that butter isn't tasty,
but yeah.
But you're eating a stick of butter.
Not an entire stick.
Yeah, it's an entire. The ones that I saw was a stick of butter on a stick that had been dipped and deep fried. I'm like, that's just no. Mm-mm.
Well, one of these days we're gonna have to get you to do the deep fried butter, but...
and you won't be able to share it. You'll have to eat the whole thing.
But back to things that are actually tasty. The kind of miracle of both the deep fried Twinkie and the deep fried Oreos is that it sort of renders them down to their base materials while coating them in a crispy substance, which ends up making the entire thing into like an odd cream, sort of. It changes the consistency.
Yeah.
And it brings out the flavor a lot too, in my view. Mm. So it makes the Twinkie not seem so much like something that was meant to be consumed 300 years from now. It seems more current.
Mm-hmm.
It's updated.
Mm-hmm. It's part of the modern age.
Right.
Modern age of deep frying.
Right. Yeah, it's a marvelous, wonderful modern age of deep frying that we're living in right now.
Serious.
Miracles are happening.
Mm-hmm. And the, yeah, so...
Speaking of miracles...
If you wish to be a part of a miracle, be part of the internet that is listening to KSU right now, you can. You can listen to it when you're not in your radio. You can stream us when you want to on ksu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website. And then you will never be without the underground sound. And remember, look for KSCU when you search for us on the apps.
That is right. So yes, all around, I think we recommend the boardwalk. We had some excellent experiences there, especially on the retro nights where things are a little nicer on the pocketbook.
Yes.
Yeah.
For those. But get yourself a good group of friends and check it out. And if you've been on any of the rides or tried any other chocolate-covered things or deep-fried things, let us know because we want to hear from you about it. How can they do that, Caleb?
You can comment on facebook.com/robotsattackshow, or you can find us on Twitter, robotsattackme. And finally, robotsattack.me for links to everything, including email, which is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. But robotsattack.me, all things robotsattack are there.
That's right. Everything.
All right. Links to the things.
Yes. Yeah. And preview shows and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. All right. That was... Actually, I need to give a shout out before we wrap up this Geek Talk because it wouldn't have been possible without this article. So I must give a shout out to Nerdist.com, especially the author, Elisa Lutz, for doing an article on my Cowboy Bebop Guardians of the Galaxy mashup video I made. It helped it get over 30,000 views.
What?
Right.
It wouldn't have been...
I'm just happy your genius was shared with the larger world.
Mm. Thank you.
Because I thought it was quite good.
Yeah, so yes, I must give a shout out to Nerdist.com and Elisa Lutz for the plug.
Mm.
And, all right. Speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
We're going to take another music break, play another track from the soundtrack, and then come back and talk about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And this time, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let Caleb select the next track we're going to listen to.
That's smart.
All righty.
What do you feel like listening to?
I will do number three.
Number three, which is?
Spirit in the Sky.
All righty. You're going to get some Spirit in the Sky right now from Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We'll be right back with the core. We're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. We're going to try to keep it as spoiler-free as possible, so if you haven't seen it yet, you can still stick around and listen to us. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara, 103.3 from the Underground Sound. We're in the core, that's what the bumper said, and we're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, yeah.
The movie.
Woo.
We went and saw it opening night in XD 3D.
It was fun.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. It also happened to be my birthday, so that was a nice bonus.
Yeah, that was okay, too.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That was a nice little cherry on top of the event, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. The timing was actually perfect because it was your actual birthday. It wasn't just like the
party. Yeah. Yeah. It was like, it literally came out my birthday. I'm like, oh, it's a present to me from Marvel. How nice of you guys. Thanks.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But don't take it away.
Yeah. No, seriously. You can just leave that right there. But yeah. To start with, I very much enjoyed the film and highly recommend that you all go watch it. It's good. The premise when it was first announced, like, I was like, huh, who's that? And then I looked him up, I'm like, oh, this sounds interesting. And then I saw trailers and I'm like, yes. And then I saw more trailers and I'm like, yes. And then I saw the movie and I'm like, yes.
Yeah, all I knew about it was having Rocket from the Marvel versus Capcom video game. That was literally the entire quantity of everything I knew about Guardians of the Galaxy. And I mean, I was relatively sold at that point, but yeah, it was a special amount of surprise to find out how good the movie turned out. Because the trailers, first off, they kind of cater perfectly to my personality and my sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sold pretty well at that point. But it's hard to even explain how well executed the movie was without getting into pretty severe spoilers, at least.
Yeah.
Well, the thing, I mean, going back to what Caleb said, I mean, the first thing was it was fun.
Yes.
And that's, I think, that's a way you could sum up this movie in just one word. It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's, if you look at the other Marvel movies, the only one that I can kind of compare, I would say, is of the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Avengers is, like, it's the least, Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like the least darkest subject matter than the other ones, I would say. Like, a lot of the other Marvel movies, it was sort of like, they were pretty heavy. They got kind of heavier as they went along. The subject matter to them was pretty dark. I mean, it still had fun moments. It's not that they weren't fun movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think, like, the Avengers was, like, really kind of tried to capitalize on that fun, like, all of them, you know, mixing together and whatnot. But this one, I would say it's just straight up, like, it's just fun. It's not trying to be, like,
any of the others. It's almost old school in its
like action movie styling, like, you know, more in certain ways it kind of reminds me of like a little bit of like Indiana Jones, some of those movies like that, where it was less about spectacle and more about, well, not that there wasn't spectacle in it, but it was like about the enjoyment of being in this universe with these characters doing their thing.
Yeah. It's like a ride. Mm-hmm. You just get on and you're just kind of enjoying each moment. And I will say, like, at least in my opinion, like many of the Marvel movies,
mm-hmm.
they still haven't nailed a villain terribly well.
No.
I like Loki, but like in the uh-huh. Avengers, I didn't mm-hmm. think they used him terribly well. I really liked him in Thor 2.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't really like the bad guy.
Anti-hero with that one.
Yeah. But that's still something they haven't quite nailed in any of them, I think.
It's
myself. Like in this mm-hmm. one, like the enemy is really kind of like it's important, but he's not really at least to me, he's not terribly interesting. Like it's just kind of like
the enemy is really comparable to like Nero from the Star Trek movie, the first of the reboot.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a lot the same thing. It's not that he isn't like a frightful character
and
doesn't mm-hmm. have a lot of power, but it's a lot of the same sort of stuff. He's personally powerful and he has really big plans. They're not so great. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it just comes down to him having a really big ship, you know?
Yeah.
Honestly, what we're seeing is one of the weaknesses in the Marvel Universe, in my opinion, is that they don't have as many really good, like, villains. Like, DC has the best villains. Like,
it's hard to beat Batman's villains.
That's
why mm-hmm. the Batman movies tend to do so well, I think, in my view.
Yeah, they have good villains, and like not that there aren't good villains in Marvel, but they are not, the villains are not iconic. They are not. It's the stories.
They're not fun.
They're not. Marvel isn't really about villains. Marvel is about heroes and interpersonal strife.
I would say though, it does seem like where the more popular villains are, they're not. Marvel doesn't have the rights to them. They're in the X-Men world or mm-hmm. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those two worlds have more of the iconic villains, I think, that most people mm-hmm. think like a Magneto.
Yes.
Kingpin or
mm-hmm.
though Kingpin will show up in the Daredevil series that's coming out. But, you know, it's like really mm-hmm. when you think, I mean, if you look back at the Marvel movies that have come out, like, I mean, the Winter Soldier was pretty mm-hmm. cool, but, you know, like, we kind of look at the rest of them, were the villains in Iron Man or Thor really memorable? I mean...
Right, and even Winter Soldier, he's a cool villain, but it's debatable whether he's the actual villain or not once you get to the end of it. And
spoilers!
It is an interesting problem that they end up having with the... like core Marvel movies, it seems like.
So you wonder, there's some heavy reliance, I think, on Thanos to be a good villain.
I don't think that's going to work either, though, is the problem. Because best I can tell, they're not shaping him into anything that has any personality. It's just another, like, world killer type of character, which hopefully that changes.
I mean, in the defense, it really hasn't done anything.
Like this movie was the first time you actually saw his face full on, and he had
some lines,
lines that. But yeah, it will be interesting to see what they do with Thanos as they go forward, because if you know he is one of the larger like villains of the Marvel Universe. Period.
So as far as the actual like comic book universe, mm-hmm. what's interesting about Thanos in that?
The thing that makes Thanos like dangerous is that his basic goal is chaos. So he's sort of like the Joker in that way, like we're leaving a trail of chaos in his wake is kind of his deal. The Infinity Gauntlet arc, which is kind of his most famous story, is Basically, he had the power to reshape the universe once he had the gauntlet.
Okay.
So
more chaos?
Effectively.
Okay.
Chaos to the point that the universe itself had to step in to solve the issue.
Okay. That's a fair amount of chaos.
Speaking of issues that you can resolve without the galaxy having to step in.
Yeah.
If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but you got limited time to volunteer, well, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org. Or look for him on Facebook. So yeah, getting back to sort of the villain thing. I mean, it's hard to say. Like, I think it's really going to depend on what they do with Ultron. I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Ultron,
how interesting they make that character.
Yeah, because that is one of the other like somewhat iconic villains from the Marvel universe is the Ultron.
Yeah,
robots.
Maybe once we see how they handle that, maybe that will help things with Thanos, but
yeah. Yeah, and it's funny too, like I was never a Fantastic Four like big mega fan, and until I ended up deciding to do like a cosplay thing of Dr. Doom, and reading over all of the stuff since I was completely unfamiliar, I became like a really big fan of Dr. Doom, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of hope that eventually becomes a really good character in some sort of Marvel.
Again, I think that's another one that Marvel doesn't have the
rights to. Yeah, I think Sony has it for now. But
Fox, I think, has it.
Oh, okay.
So Sony has Spider-Man, and Fox has Fantastic Four,
well, X-Men.
I'll qualify it this way. Not necessarily like a Marvel Studios properly, but a Marvel comic movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, that being said, the film was still very enjoyable. It's just, when it was done, it was like, it happened again. They didn't really have like that interesting of a villain, but the film was just so fun following the Guardians of the Galaxy that it could ride on that. Now, whether that can hold for another film may be another question.
It'll be interesting to see what the villain ends up being in the next Guardians film, which in case people out there haven't already heard, they confirmed that they were going to make a second Guardians film even before it released.
Yeah.
So Marvel had some confidence in this movie.
well placed confidence.
And the big thing that kind of counterbalanced a weak villain was that you had like genuinely good heroes in every single one of these characters, as far as I'm concerned. Because even the ones that I thought were just going to be kind of write-off characters, like just supporting type of things, they ended up being really neat by the end, in my view, because they had some of the best scenes where they end up, like Drax, right?
Drax the Destroyer, yeah.
I was not expecting him to be a likable character. In the first half of the movie, it basically catered to my idea that he wasn't going to be a likable character, but they figured out how to make him a likable, believable character, and it ended up being more than just having him be kind of the butt of jokes or anything like that, too, which ends up creating some really good jokes, I won't lie. Nothing Goes Over My Head is probably still one of my favorite things ever.
Yeah, that was good.
But yeah, what ends up even more impressive to me is I didn't consider Batista to be like a really like grade A actor or anything, so I wasn't expecting a good performance from him. And it's not like he was doing Shakespeare or anything like that.
Yeah. Right.
But in my view, he had one of the toughest gigs in the movie, in that all of his best stuff was interacting with things that weren't there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he did a good job at it.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. I mean,
You had two completely virtual characters.
Characters, yeah. Right. And so being able to play off, you know, all the cast, being able to play off well with characters right. that don't exist there is always impressive. I mean,
yeah, yeah. I remember thinking that too, like, wow, you almost forgot that they weren't there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. So, that was just really well done. I have nothing but good things to say about that movie because I thoroughly enjoyed all of the... I thought the interactions were really good. The characterizations, like, the one place where I was not disappointed, but just sort of surprised, an interesting take on... They spent more time... Gamora spent more time being, now I'm going to put this in quotes, softer, as opposed, you know, like that she wasn't dangerous, but she spent most of her time being softer. She was her more mercenary, her darker side did not come out quite so much in this film, which didn't fit the story they were telling, and maybe. You know, when they pivot to the next film, that might be some of these aspects might come back to haunt them more. But
yeah, I would say playing off of that,
mm-hmm.
Honestly, I would say all of the characters,
mm-hmm.
because there are a lot.
Yeah,
they all could have used a little bit more, but mm-hmm. it probably would have dragged the film.
Yes.
So I'm glad the way they did it, but I do agree, and with the rest of the characters as well, they probably could have used a little bit more to them to kind of beef them up, but
yeah.
they did a good enough job where you got the idea of the characters and it was still fun,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be around them and stuff. So maybe in sequels or, mm-hmm. you know, they'll focus maybe on a couple of the other characters' backstories or things that kind of beef them up a little bit they've... you know, kind of gotten them all together,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and maybe do more of that.
I don't know if I'm alone in this or not, but I'm secretly hoping they do a lot more with the Ravagers in the future, just because I thought they were a really fun element to it. It started out as just a normal, like, somebody trying to chase them down sort of thing, but
yeah.
they mm-hmm. ended up creating kind of neat little twists to all the characters, in my view. That I'm hoping for more Rooker in the next movie because he ended up being pretty awesome by the end of it, in my view.
Yeah, and I think
maybe not the smartest guy in the world,
yeah,
but pretty menacing in his own way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. They did a lot of interesting, like, kind of like small things which made while there wasn't much. As much to the characters, like, you did get a feel for kind of who they were, what they did and how they interacted, which I thought was better because it was more of the show, don't tell.
Exactly.
And that was nice.
And because it's not taking place on Earth,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's not like, well, okay, I'm familiar with kind of how these things work.
Yeah.
You know, it's off in the galaxy and all these things. So, mm-hmm. they throw a lot of stuff at you
mm-hmm.
that, like, well, you know, like, oh, maybe I would have liked to have known a little bit more of why this is going on or why is that. But in the end, it's kind of like, eh, I mean, it's that fun again. It just goes back to, it's just a fun ride to be on. And it's just mm-hmm. kind of like, well, if that's super duper important, they'll give me more at some point. But it's not like... You know, it's not going to ruin it because I didn't know why this wanted this. You know, it was just, mm-hmm. okay. I mean, so, you know, without going, I don't want to, you know, go into spoilers and stuff, but
right.
I did notice, you know, things like, well, these people don't like this and this and that. And it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's just, you're just kind of, you're thrown into it. And so you just go along for the ride.
It reminds me completely and totally of the, like Raiders of the Lost Ark and so on. It's just that same sort of thing. Instead of having a completely detailed thing of why every single group is doing what they're doing, it just ends up being a nice playground for the characters that you really end up liking to interact with.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question. Oh, yes. Unless you...
No, go for it.
Do you think this movie... will fit in with the rest of the Marvel movies, because, you know, there's been talk that, like, they're going to end up being with the Avengers and, like, I don't know, Avengers 3 or something like that. So do you think it's going to be, I mean, right now we only have the first Avengers to really compare with Guardians of the Galaxies. Do you think they're going to be able to blend these kinds of styles together?
There's been a lot of speculation on that, and a lot of it's involved the Hulk, and a lot of it is involved Iron Man. I guess in the comic series, Iron Man is the normal interaction between the Guardians of the Galaxy and
He's
kind of the core world.
Yeah, he's their sort of liaison to Earth.
I guess my question isn't so much like story-wise how they're going to do it, but more of just feel.
Well, that's sort of where I'm going with it, is that I've heard one speculation that ends up kind of fitting with, like, in a good way in my view, is that they're going to end up doing some sort of hybrid Guardians of the Galaxy scenario along with World War Hulk. And kind of the proof that's floating around out there, in my view, is that as soon as people started talking about a World War Hulk movie, Ruffalo ended up talking about how he didn't think there was enough there for having a completely solitary character carry out all of that. And to me, now that Guardians of the Galaxy has come out, it creates a pretty good way to have that same scenario and have him play off of some of these other characters. So we'll see how that ends up working out in as far as... I have a feeling something's going to end up happening at the end of the Ultron movie or Avengers 2 that's going to end
Age
up...
Age of Ultron.
Right, that's going to end up putting Hulk in that situation. But who knows for sure.
So going off of that question, who would you like to see direct whatever kind of main collaboration this would be? Do you want... like Josh Whedon or it's James Gunn?
Yeah, James Gunn was the director of Guardians.
I'm completely caught off guard by Gunn, and I want to see more of his stuff, honestly. I'm really excited to see how he pulls more films together. Because a lot of people have talked about this, and we played a couple of the songs. He manages to pull the entire movie together, not just from like a really fun perspective. He makes this soundtrack, or he incorporated the soundtrack that ends up being a really good shorthand and a really good way of relating to the character really quickly and understanding sort of Peter Quill's kind of perspective on the world and what kind of feeds him. And it ends up reinforcing like the very opening scene every time you end up hearing something from the soundtrack. And it ends up making you get way more attached to the songs than you'd expect to. So it's just a nice, it just fits together so well that it's something that I haven't experienced in a really long time, that the movie ends up having a resonance to it that makes you want to see it again. I've already seen it twice, and I'm actually thinking about seeing it a third time. I was really thinking about trying to catch like another maybe IMAX performance of it before disappears out, from theaters. But
yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing it again.
Yeah, that's good.
How about yourself, Caleb?
I kind of would like to see where Gunn takes it, because he seems to have handled the space stuff really well. Like, yeah, a lot of it was painted in broad strokes, but the characters that we were focusing on really didn't care about the minutiae of the universe. They are here for a few things, and I think that he brought a certain amount of clarity to what is otherwise a kind of convoluted section of the Marvel universe.
Very convoluted,
which is in no small part. Comes from the fact that it was mostly written by...
Brain fart.
Yeah. the
Mr. Convoluted.
No.
Give AKA, me
I don't know.
Jack Kirby.
Jack Kirby.
Okay. Yes. Who went on,
that doesn't seem like a ringing endorsement. I thought he was cool and stuff.
He is, but when he's left to wander with his mind, his imagination's left to wander, it goes into very strange places.
Mm. Okay.
As evidenced by when he went over to DC and they basically said, write whatever you want. And he wrote the whole New Gods apocalypse and all of that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Like all
that
of that
explains a lot. I had no idea about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of that is like basically pure Kirby, which is on one hand absolutely brilliant. On the other hand, it's a little bit like, that's very odd. Okay.
Yeah, and it creates a shorthand between the two universes too that they seem like they should fit together somehow.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, if you've seen any of the animated series, they take so much cues from Kirby's art. It's pretty astounding. But that aside, like, there's the... I would like to see more... see Gunn do more of this, kind of start bringing some of the Earth stuff into space and adding some of the space to Earth.
Yeah.
How about yourself? Who do you want to see... unite the universes?
I'm not really sure.
Sylvester Stallone.
Expendables in space.
All right.
Come on, guys. We're called the Expendables, but
we'll do awesome.
None of us die.
Right.
Yeah.
Just the young people that I bring in.
Yeah.
They're expendable, not us.
Yeah.
It's sort of a cop-out, but I almost kind of want to just see how Josh Whedon handles Age of Ultron.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And then yeah, maybe that would be decide kind of telling. Because... you know, then it's kind of like it's got a little more to it, and it's sort of off of like, okay, that sort of first chance of getting them all together,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of see like how he handles a powerful villain, you know,
mm-hmm.
going up against these guys, like
just
see sort of his take, and then it will be interesting though, since like it sounds really dark when like Guardians of the Galaxy is like fun. Mm-hmm. So like how mixing those worlds when those collide. I mean, obviously Thanos will be, you know, dangerous. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some dark to that since it's chaos. He wants mm-hmm. to like, you know, destroy everything and whatnot. So
mm-hmm.
who will be able to kind of mix that sense of dark and still fun, but still make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
And cause you know, I mean, I think even Jason yourself had said this, but like kind of looking back at the Christopher Nolan like Batman movies,
right.
there's not a lot of humor to them. Like there's I hate to say it, it's like there isn't like fun to those movies, but you know it does.
They're not lighthearted.
Right. Yeah, so it's like
mm-hmm.
you know that's definitely it seems at least with this first Guardians of the Galaxy film that definitely seems like a mainstay is like kind of lighthearted, just fun.
Right.
So it's like, will that get
will
not
that be
as not? Yeah, yeah. Will it not be as good when more of a darkness comes into it, or will they be able to mix the two? Like, I think it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
How they handle it and who they do end up sort of handing over the reins to. Like, okay, because you know, Avengers 3 or whatever the one that gets most of them all together again, like
right.
who's going to be, who are they going to turn to? Does even Josh Whedon, would he even want to do it? Or so.
Yeah. I mean, nobody knows for sure at this point, it sounds like. But yeah, it brought up something that I hadn't really thought of until now, and this is mostly because I am not super familiar with how Buffy ended up coming together. But I don't know from the stuff that I've seen mm-hmm. whether Joss Whedon is particularly adept at like finishing moves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's really good at creating a feel that gets you excited.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if he's good at wrapping things up, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to say with television series because it's like, that like with Buffy, for instance, I mean, it's like he didn't write all the episodes,
right?
Like, mm-hmm. His brother wrote
less
some, he turned
so,
them
over
to,
time,
yeah,
right?
Turned more over to other writers and stuff. So, I mean, I'm sure he was definitely like, okay, this is like a map, you know, a Bible of like, this is where I kind of want it to go. But it's hard with, I think, with TV series and stuff to really say like, well, like, is it all, was it all him? Like, can you really say like,
yeah,
I don't know. But yeah, it does. He's definitely good at moments and stuff. But,
right.
But yeah, it's.
Because
I would. It seems to me that one of his struggles is also like big villains. Because like from what I remember of Astonishing X-Men.
I think so.
The one that he wrote, like
I thought that was pretty good. I think that was one of his best villains, personally. But.
But like, yeah, but.
I'm sorry to completely derail you. You can disagree. Right.
But I'm just saying like that it was still sort of like it was the comic was really more about the heroes and the villain was kind of it was while it was a good villain, it wasn't necessarily like the strongest villain ever. I guess it's just.
To me the villain was very much in his vein because it was a nice twist on things instead of and a good surprise sort of. And I don't know if I should be concerned about spoilers at all at this point. But the other side of it is when he had his run in Runaways, which is like a major favorite of mine, I really wasn't impressed at all at the stuff that he did in that. So I don't know if it's part of that same thing that he... It seems like... When it comes to wrapping up a storyline, I don't know that he's particularly great at that.
Yeah, no. he has sort of the George R. R. Martin problem where it's like, all these stories are really good. How do they end?
Right. He's really good at creating interesting material and making characters kind of shine. Like, he's good at polishing them up. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Hard to say. Well, speaking of wrapping up, we got to wrap up the show.
Oh, yeah.
Here on, I know. Good discussion.
This makes
the time go by super fast here on KACU Santa Clara 103.3 from the Underground Sound. That's going to do it for Robots Attack this week. We will be back, never fear, next week from 6 to 8 Thursday. Man.
One last thing that I feel is makes me like have a little smile of joy is that the 13-day total between like total take between Guardians versus Transformers 4, Guardians is higher by
wow, because Transformers
10 million. Sorry, it's 10 million higher right now than Transformers 4 was at the same breakpoint.
Nice
like breakpoint. Okay,
they managed to outfun Transformers.
So that I feel like that's nice. A little bit of vindication right there against the juggernaut that was the
Transformers movie,
series.
Which, to be fair, none of us saw here. So we're just going off what we've heard.
Yeah. So. Well, the
but anyway, that's end on a good note.
It's a good thing.
Yes. All right. So that's going to do it. Caleb, speaking of good things, even though the show's over with, the audience can still participate, and how can they do that?
That's right. If you would like to chime in, give your own thoughts and opinions about what we've said, or what you would like to see. Also, you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words, or make it simplified: facebook.com/robotsattackshow. You can like us, just like 50 other people have, and. And we just got a new one.
New like. Shout out.
Carrie, thank you for liking us. We appreciate you. And if Facebook's not your game, you prefer Twitter, we are Robots Attack Me on Twitter.
If you like internet pages, we have that too.
It's true. We do have a page on the internet. It is called robotsattack.me. It has archived episodes of our shows, plus links to all the things that we have discussed here. And you can leave comments, send us emails through that. It is all good stuff. Plus, it links back to our Facebook and Twitter pages as well, so you can always interact that way.
That's right. All right. That's going to do it. Have a wonderful weekend. Do some fun stuff or do something fun for someone else if you can't do any fun stuff. All right. We'll catch you next week. Take it easy, everybody.
Raccoon. Veronica. Misto.